Welcome, 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 my friends, to another episode of Cardboard Fever, NPR style. I'm just kidding. We are here. I'm going to start off with a rant. Some of you have seen me talk about this on social media. Some have not. So I don't even know where to really start here, but let's dive in. I signed up for a break of Formula One Topps Chrome because the boxes are outrageously priced, and I thought, kind of like you, Matt, where you couldn't really get into a box of select, but you could get into a break of select. $100 for a team. Okay, pretty reasonable, right? So far, so good. You get where I'm going?
That's too pricey for me, but go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was my one chance to get in, and they combined teams wrong in Formula One. They combined a team that doesn't exist anymore with a Formula Two team. And there was one card of this old team in the set, in the checklist. And they just thought, okay, we'll combine it with a Formula Two team. Now I get you combine it, but you should combine it with either the team they became, which is AlphaTauri, where Pierre Gasly races, or the team that's pictured on the card, which is the guy is Alex Albon, who raced for Red Bull last year. Instead, so I look at the notes in like the break beforehand. So I go, okay, I see that they probably made a mistake. No big deal. I missed the beginning of the break because it's Friday at like 5 o'clock ish. So I'm wrapping up work and I hop on maybe a half a box through the first of four boxes. Break's going smoothly. I'm not really getting too much either way, but like it's, it's going smoothly. And then at the very end, I realize, oh my God, they screwed up the team combinations. And afterwards, we were talking. Now, this was with a card shop. We were talking on Facebook, and I said, you guys screwed up. I put it more politely than that. I'm kind of unhinged on a Monday night. It's been a really long day of work here. So they keep telling me, well, no, it was right. And I said, no, it's not. Part of my job, part of my life is covering Formula One. So like, I know what I'm talking about. Same thing. Like if you were talking about NASCAR teams, I would say, Matt's probably right. So then the card store brings in another guy in the break from Germany, I believe. So he, most Europeans are big Formula One fans. And the dude pretty much agrees with me. So then the card store says, well, you should have told us before the break started. I'm sorry. I was busy working. And yeah, in the long run, I didn't have to pay. So it's cool. I mean, from that aspect, it's cool. But I missed out on some Pierre Gasly cards. And I'm a big Gasly fan. And B, the fact that they had the nerve to tell me, oh, you should have just told us before the break. Like I had, first off, there was no, hey, the break starts at 5 o'clock. They just kind of dove into the break. So am I right in being still annoyed, even though they like kind of apologized? Because I feel like the apology was kind of half-assed, if you're asking me.
Well, I'm pretty big on apologies. So I was originally leaning towards them until they, because like if they told you the break was at 5 and you're working and you missed the beginning of it, like that's on you, dude.
Correct.
But if they didn't tell you the break started and then they just started, well then that's like, well it's not like that is on them. Like that's not very professional. I've been experimenting with brakes, as you know, and yeah. I've been able to see like who I like and who I don't like braking with, and you know, I've learned the hard way a couple of times, as we all do with brakes. I would just that particular excuse would I wouldn't go back and brake with them just because that I don't like the excuse. If you wanna if you want to say you should have said something before the break, that's fine, but you better have set a time for the break. Cause then we all, okay, had, we yep. all, everyone knew that you, the break was at 5, and then you could go back and look. And as a customer, it's your option to go back and look to make sure your name's down on the right team and everything looks good. You have, I don't know, say they make the announcement at noon, say we're breaking at 5. You have 5 hours to go and look. If you don't go and look, that's on you. But if they don't say anything and they just start breaking and something's wrong, then that's on them, because they didn't do their due diligence with the product they're breaking, and they didn't do their due diligence with the well, in your instance, the product, but in another instance, it could be with who has what team. I've seen people mess up teams before too.
Sure.
So it's just laziness on their part.
And, you know, with Formula One, like, the checklist was not very clear. So, and mistakes happen. Like, that's totally, like, if you don't know Formula One and you didn't know that Toro Rosso became AlphaTauri, like, okay, fine. But first off, if you look at the checklist and you do, like, I went on the checklist online. I did, you know, search all on my screen, and I typed in Toro Rosso, and there's literally one card with a couple variations that come up. That's not a team. So you're immediately putting that person at a disadvantage in the break, because you're pairing it with a Formula 2 team. And there's not really value in the Formula 2 cards in this box. They're just kind of like, you know, to make up for the fact that you have a lesser F1 team. So essentially, I would have paid $109 for $20 in F2 cards that I might have gotten. I know there was a few in there. I forget exactly how many there were. And like, that's what the most frustrating part is. The pairing was bad, and that's fine. You don't know F1. And like, honestly, it was my local store. And, you know, those guys know that I know Formula One. Just shoot somebody a message. Ask somebody who knows more, whether it's me or, you know, somebody in Germany or somebody else. You know, I'm not the only person who knows racing, so somebody could have helped them out there. And then when they messaged me and said, you should have let me know, well, we can't give the cards that should have gone to you, you know, that went to somebody else. We can't give them to you. I get that. That's fine. I don't need the guy's cards because he thinks, okay, I got the AlphaTauri cards. No argument there. But please don't tell me I should have told you before the break. You don't know what I have going on. And there was no set time for the break. It was just, it breaks when it fills. So I don't know if that's going to be in 5 minutes or 5 hours. Because, you know, Friday afternoon, people are either working or driving home or started having a few beverages. And I know this rant has gone on for, like, probably the first third of our episode now. But I was pretty heated. As the Hive Cards group knows, I was cursing up a storm on Twitter, because I just, and this was before they said, hey, you don't have to pay, but it just left a bad taste in my mouth. And I do want to go there because the guys are so nice. They have more product selection, more selection of singles than some of the other stores, and their prices, especially compared to, I'll get to this story in a minute, to this, another nearby card store are pretty good. But I just feel, I don't know, Matt. I feel bummed out, if that makes sense.
Violated?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I just, like, these boxes are so expensive, and it's my favorite sport. And, like, this was my chance to get in at a reasonable cost. And I wouldn't have cared if I got Mercedes or Haas F1, the worst team on the grid. All those cars have value. I wouldn't have cared at all. I just wanted to be in the break. And I feel like I got cheated out of it.
You sound like a poor little kid. I just wanted to be in the break.
I just wanted to be included.
Yeah. 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 No, I'll give you a pat on the back. Yeah. No, I understand. That's pretty. Yeah. That would like, for as petty as I am with certain, like, if you screw me over, I tend to hold a grudge. So I'm petty in that aspect. So I would probably go and talk them before I just wouldn't break with them again, just because, like, you know them so well. If it was someone I didn't know, I just wouldn't break with them again. But because you know them so well, I would be willing to go down and talk it out to them. Because that's like the mature thing to do. Just go down, talk it out, say, hey, blah, blah, blah. And you disagree. If you leave with a bad taste in your mouth after that, then just don't go back. But I mean, I think it's worth saving at that point.
I did.
You just said they have good cards.
Yeah. And I did talk to the other store owner who was not there. And really, I apologize because I was like, ooh, I probably, like, my tone was probably a little too harsh. Because I probably sounded like...
Not when someone's messing with your money, dude. Like, that's...
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I know. But, like, I was just, you know, calming down and being like, okay, you know, sorry for being a pain in the ass, whatever. And he's like, what happened? I explained. And, like, he pretty much was like, yeah, sorry, the guy who broke, who did the break, was not the store owner, it's one of the employees. Doesn't know anything about F1. And I'm like, that's cool. That's not the issue. Anyway, I'll probably end up, I need to go. I'm going to be over that way on Wednesday, I think. So, I mean, I'll go in, I'll buy some stuff. I honestly just kind of want to just leave it as is and see if they say anything. Cause like, I feel like I don't need to say anything. It's not on me.
Scared to say anything.
And if they are, that's fine. I almost, even if they don't say anything, I just want to see how they act. Cause that's, yeah,
well,
it is.
I would go in and say something, because then I know I'm going to get into a break for free the next time, and I know you want to be included. So just go get your free break.
Yeah, you know, I'll probably make it like in a joking way, just because I won't want to cause drama in public in a store.
Yeah, and they'll go home with their families, be like, dude, can you believe this kid threw a fit over F1 cards? Like, what is F1?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway,
ruin that guy's day.
Before we move on, I spoke of another.
Dude, I broke with the kid recently that yanked my crank too, dude. I put out a tweet on Sunday on yesterday, and how I don't. If I ask you for your tracking number, I expect you to give it to me. And one kid thought it was for meant to him, but it actually wasn't, because I knew this kid was actually going to give it to me. It was meant for another person that acknowledged my DM to them, and then immediately did a bunch of breaks that Saturday night, and I haven't got my tracking number since. Like, so whether you're doing breaks or shipping cards to people, like even right now, like my work schedule, I tell people I work 8 to 4:30 Monday through Thursday, for my boss, which is when the post office hours are.
Yeah.
So if you buy something from me, I can't get it shipped to Friday or Saturday, but I'm up front with them. I just don't not send them the tracking number. Like, if I ask you for a tracking number, I expect you to send it to me. It's not really a hard task. It's your job as the seller.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that conversation on the podcast social media, which, by the way, at Card Fever Pod, be sure to check it out. And I'm sorry, we're 12 minutes in plus, and I forgot to plug Pastime Marketplace, the place where you can get storage boxes to keep all your cards super safe and secure. They've got all my Tatises and John Morants and my growing and growing and growing collection of Project 70 cards. So I did hit a Project 70 foil, as I shared with you. I hit the Ohtani. Which artist is this? I'm so sorry. Tyson Beck, which is a super cool card. And I am going to hold on to that one for a while, because I think the value on an Ohtani is only going to go up.
So far, so good. He's not a glass house. I just thought he was going to be fragile, and knock on wood, he's been pretty healthy so far.
Yeah, I know he's pitching. So we're recording this, for those wondering, on a Monday night, 2 days before it comes out, and I believe he's pitching tonight. It looks like he gave up a couple runs early, but
he's still a stud.
The 3 innings, 2 hits, 4 runs so far.
Ooh, not a stud. I retract gave that.
Gave up a 3-run homer. So, yeah, you know, listen, struck out 4 guys in 3 innings. That's what you're going to get with him. He also doesn't pitch every five days. So he's on like a little bit of a weird schedule. And I think this is only the second time he's pitched this year because of some sort of injury that was hampering him from pitching, but not hitting. So nonetheless, his cards are not going to go down in value.
It is kind of neat that they can just like theoretically have their 5-man rotation and then like, some dude gets tired. It's like, hey, Shohan, you're pitching tonight. Like, just throw the other team a curveball. Like,
yeah,
what a weapon to have.
He throws 100. Like, I don't know why. I just you know, when I bought the Project 70 cards. So I know this is going to be another long story. We might up only at getting to like 3 actual conversations in this entire episode. But I bought the Project 70 card, and then I relocated where I was working for a couple weeks into New Jersey just to get out of the house for a little while, and came home to, as you saw, a ton of mail, and was thankful to open up. I think I opened up like 3 Project 70 cards yesterday when I got home, and one of them was the foil card. So it's been out, but I didn't really read up a lot about Ohtani until I bought the Project 70 card, because it was super cool. And like, I knew last year he had a bad year, but his, you know, 2 years before that, he was stud. And I started reading, the dude throws 100 miles an hour and can hit towering bombs for home runs. Like, that's like superhuman level. Like, as much as I love, you know, Fernando Tatis or, I don't know, any of the other young sluggers, those guys aren't going to the mound and throwing 3 innings and striking out 4 guys, even if they do give up a home run or two. So he is a pretty special talent.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm like I said, I am always with today's pitchers, I'm just always skeptical with the whole Tommy John thing. And with as fast as he throws, and is he's also a power hitter. It's not like he's just a slap hitter or pull hitter. And he's a power hitter. You just wonder how much he can hold up. I mean, I've never seen this before. Like, you saw Tatis throw his shoulder out but taking a swing this year. So I've never seen when's the last time we've seen someone pitch and field like actively as much as he has? I mean, Rick Ankiel, but he was a hitter pitcher turn hitter.
Yeah.
I can't think of another guy that did both for the most part.
Man, that would be a cool card to see if you could get like a first Bowman Chrome Ankiel auto. They're probably dirt cheap.
Oh, I love Ankiel, man. He was a stud. He had the Steve Blass disease. He just couldn't throw a strike.
Yeah, it was unfortunate because like he had probably number one prospect or number two prospect. I don't remember, but
I feel like we're missing one more guy that did that changed to a hitter or vice versa.
There's like been a few, like Matt Bush, the reliever for Texas. I think he might have played for Tampa. Started out as an infielder, couldn't hit the ball, became a reliever, and was a solid reliever for a couple of years. He didn't have the lengthy career at all.
Okay. I don't remember. Well, I remember Carlos Zambrano was a hell of a pitching hitter. Or
hitting pitcher.
hitting pitcher, yeah. Then Mike Hampton, back in the day with the Rockies, he was another great pitching hitter. Or hitting pitcher, my gosh. But yeah, no, I'm personally sad that this is another argument for another day, but I'm sad that this is going to be the last year for hitters in the National League for pitching. That's just always been part of the sport for me. It's what separates the American League from the National League. I mean,
oh, nothing I'm so else ready for that to be done. I cannot wait for the DH.
Like I said, it's a conversation for a different day. You never lived in the National League like I have, unfortunately. I pay to go see hitters swing and miss, dude, or pitchers swing and miss. No one else does, but I do.
I mean, that's fair. I respect that take. I know they're some traditional.
Do you remember LeVon Hernandez?
Yeah, another guy, Madison Bumgarner, is a pretty damn good hitter.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Matt Bum. He threw that fake no-hitter the other night, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I just saw this really sick Andrew Jones card the other day. It was a 1-of-1. I don't know why I just brought that up. I think because I'm watching the Braves game, but I was a huge Andrew Jones fan back in the day. One of the few players from the Netherlands, believe it or not.
Would you, so if you were going to collect, now since we've talked about a couple guys here, let's go with Mike Hampton, Rick Ankiel, and did you say Levon Hernandez?
Yeah, that was my dude.
All right, Levon Hernandez. Three totally random guys who have no relevance to current day baseball. If you're going to collect one, like you're going to die, you are going to dive in and you're going to buy every card that this guy has available that you can get your hands on. Which one of those three are you picking and why are you picking him?
Well, one was a World Series champ. And Levon. You know, yeah, A, do you know who for, and B, do you know who his brother was? You should know who his brother is, who's a Yankee.
So I'm guessing he won the series for the Marlins.
Yes, what, 97? It was the first one. I think it was 97.
Probably. And was his brother El Duque?
Yes, his brother was El Duque, or is El Duque.
Yeah, sorry.
Passed away.
Yeah, my bad.
Passed away. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just a really good athletic family. And, you know, I like Levon as a kid because Levon was, you know, he was a little bit of a heftier dude. You know, I was a little chubby dude as well. And I also pitched and I also hit. I'm not saying I was good at it, but, like, anytime I saw someone that kind of looked like me and did the same things, I kind of took a liking to him. And I always, like, I don't know, I always enjoyed watching the Marlins games just because I liked how big that center field used to be at, what do they call it, Pro Player Stadium, Marlin Stadium, whatever they used to call it.
Yeah, it's got like nine names.
Like, yeah, it was like a Hard Rock Cafe Stadium at one point, I think. I mean, that was like a 420-foot center field or something like that. I just loved that place. So I enjoyed that team. I mean, Miguel Cabrera was there, Mike Lowell was there, Jeff Conine. They had some fun people. Josh Beckett,
Ramirez.
That was 2000. Hanley Ramirez, that was the later World Series in 2003. But even the 97 team, I think that was the one with Mike Lowell and Jeff Conine. But, you know, that was – I don't know. I just got attached to Levon Hernandez. And another thing that attracted me to him, at least once he was with the Marlins, was I like players that wear weird numbers. And for a pitcher, he wore 61. And you don't really see that too often. So I kind of – that was another reason that drew me to him.
I dig that. All right, we got 10 minutes left here, Matt. What cards are you buying right now? What guys are you going after?
Well, I know, I mean, I should be absolutely trashed for this. I said after this, I trashed Optic, Optic for coming out after the Super Bowl. I said I was done with football, but yep.
I was waiting for you to admit this.
Being out of the hobby for so long, I didn't like, you know, I'm just learning my way back into what's good and what's not. A, I was really disappointed / underwhelmed with Optic this year. B, I am so in love with Select dudes. Like, and from what I see, the value holds the most. I mean, I see, I think it was TJ a couple months ago. He posted some like Jason Tatum Select rookies on great, like PSA 9s or 10s. And they really hold their values, these Select cards. And they're just, man, they're so nice. Now, the one thing that upset me about Select, I think you saw my, not argument, but my suggestion to this one dude. I don't like that Select came out with retail this year for the sole fact that, you know, the Tiger prints are case hits. So you should be able to, you know, you get rewarded for spending the money on the case. Or the hobby boxes. And even as buying into a break, you get rewards for buying into a hobby break. Now there's like, you get these three parallels per blaster, essentially. It kind of waters the product down. But at the same time, I just pulled two parallels last night in the break I was in, and I can't really complain because they're really nasty. But it just, like even this year, I was, I think it was Blake that told me, the downtowns didn't used to be in retail Optic. This is the first year they've been in retail Optic. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but if that's the case, when you put case hits in retail, it just waters down what you're able to get. And that that upsets me. The one guy, his argument was, God forbid you make affordable retail. And I'm all for affordable retail. Like, if Select wants to make retail, that's fine. Like, don't put the tiger prints. You can have the cool parallels, like the lime greens and the red, white, and blues or whatever. But some cards just need to stay to the hobby side. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to just formulate. I get what you're saying. And I think Select, you know, they have like Select Concourse, which is like kind of like a step down. Like, if they did one of the lower Select variations as retail, you know, that I could dig, but I think Select as a whole being retail, yeah, I don't dislike it as much as you and I think TJ, et cetera, but it is a little bit of a bummer when you have just as much of a chance as getting a tiger print card out of like a pack at Target as you do a retail box. Like, that's definitely a bummer, especially if buy a retail box.
Here's the deal. It's not a deal breaker, at least for me, if Select has retail. Just keep the certain hits out. Like, did you see the amount of downtowns that have been pulled this year? It's almost like an irrelevant. It's so many downtowns in Optic. It's like, it's almost borderline an irrelevant card now. I mean, the chase cards should be rewarded. Like, I don't mind having Select in retail. I think more power to them. It allows people to buy the product more, but like, reward the people for spending the big money is all I ask.
Okay. I can respect that. I don't know. I guess I just didn't really think about it. I do appreciate kind of your opinion and TJ's opinion those are the two that I specifically remember, but all right, we've got 5 minutes left here. We've talked baseball, we've talked football, basketball. I don't know. There's probably not too much interesting buying in basketball right now because we're about to hit the playoffs. Hockey is just about at the end of the year too.
Well, my buddy bought into a Black Diamond break.
Oh, those Black Diamond. All right, we'll end with this in the last few minutes.
I don't know much about it. I was just making a comment because I thought I might think you're interested.
Black Diamond Upper Deck is like one of the higher end hockey cards available, and they have these like little. Some of them have like little diamonds on them. I don't know if they're actually like real diamonds or not, but they're very slick looking cards. The problem is they're ridiculously expensive for hockey cards, and I don't know. You know, hockey is my favorite stick and ball sport. By far, not even close. And I just can't justify spending the prices on anything other than regular Upper Deck Series 1 and Series 2 hockey stuff, because it's just the resale value or the value long term, unless the guy is, you know, the next Sidney Crosby, really isn't there.
All right, but if you're I think we can agree that, you know, the hockey market for resale as a whole is not great, you know, unless it's like the superstars.
Yep.
But at the same time, you personally like the PC, the Flyers. So yes. Like Andrew, my buddy, he bought into a Black Diamond break for the Penguins for $75. I mean, that's a hell of a way to buy into a break. And he got P.O. Joseph. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. What team was it again? I'm sorry.
What?
What team did he get?
He got the Penguins, the hometown team, the Penguins.
Okay. Yeah. I know the guy's name. It's escaping me right now.
He got Olivier Piojoseph, a Black Diamond card, a rookie was numbered. And then he got a Geno Malkin card and a Sidney Crosby card. Both are numbered. I mean, if you're PCing for yourself, it's not a bad way to buy into a break for $75. I mean, granted, the Flyers would be much cheaper because, you know, I think they're the so Penguins, for some reason the Kings are expensive, the Maple Leafs, each sport has its teams that are always high. But while I agree with you, it is a more high-end product, as is Select. Like, I can't justify – well, I can because I can't personally justify spending $2,000 on a hobby box, even though those Select hobby boxes do – the cars inside do resell well, but I can justify spending $55 on a Bills break. You know what I mean? So I think for you, I think if you bought into a Flyers break, you'd be fairly surprised. Or even if you wanted, if there's a player out there, like, I forget that guy for the Wild. Everyone's talking about him.
Kaprizov.
Yeah, you bought into a Wild break. I'm sure they're more expensive, but I mean, he'd be a good one to buy into. And another thing I've learned about buying in the breaks is, like, no matter who your favorite team is, it's always going to be loaded with rookies of the most popular players. So just take with that what you will. I mean, that's kind of why I got – so people legitimately think I'm like a diehard Bills fan. I've been employed by the Steelers. I grew up a Steelers fan, so I'm a Steelers fan. But I got really into the Bills because Josh Allen – granted, this isn't backing up my rookie theory, but they have two good rookies in Zach Moss and Gabe Davis. And I kind of got latched onto them because I don't like any of our rookies for the Steelers. But, I mean, these packs are just loaded with the rookies. You get so many Tua's, Hurts, Gabe Davis's. I mean, I know it's the same way every year loaded with rookies, but it's just interesting getting back into the hobby, realizing it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, the Flyers are going to be cheaper in breaks because they don't have a young rookie right now, and they're – young stars and stars in general aren't really doing that well this year. So they're probably a little undervalued, which is probably a good time to buy into a break. Honestly, I just haven't
probably
been
get able a nice Carter Hart autograph or something.
Yeah. I haven't been able to stomach it just because, you know, the team makes me so frustrated, but I guess I have to get over my frustration in order to, you know, get the most out of the hobby. That's, you know, that's me being silly, but we'll wrap it there.
Dude, once they get good, if they get good, dude, you'll never be able to buy a cheap break.
I know. Okay, think about fine. That. I'll do it. I'll do it soon in the next couple weeks. Right. Anyway, right. We'll wrap it up there, guys. Hope you have a wonderful week. Let us know if you're doing any Formula One breaks because I still want to get into one. And Matt, the new Bills fan, obviously will take the Bills breaks and we'll be watching the draft closely. What's the draft start? Thursday night. So,
crikey, I forgot about that.
Yeah. All right, Steve Irwin. On that note, I will let you sign us off for the week.
Dude, well, we got to make a quick prediction then. One quick prediction. Who is going to be the second quarterback taken overall? And I'll make the second quarterback taken overall, just to make it fun.
The second quarterback taken overall, probably Zach Wilson.
Probably Zach. Who has the second overall pick?
The Jets.
Oh, that's no fun. Yeah, it's gonna be Zach Wilson. I thought the Niners for whatever reason. I was gonna make it interesting. Who
Niners
do you think the Niners are gonna draft? Fields or Mac Jones?
I think Justin Fields because, and I have no reason for that. So I'll go Fields.
Okay. I'm going to go Mac Jones just because I've heard reports and that means nothing in today's world, obviously, but I don't know.
Yeah. I yeah. Why not?
There's like a million different reports out each day. So I don't know what reports are real.
I stop reading that stuff. Like it's fun to like casually read, but it's not worth.
I saw one guy tweet. I'm tired of hearing about the draft and hearing about just, get it over with and tell me who goes where. I'm like, dude, you're so right. You're so right. But all right, on that note, I appreciate each and every one of you for finding us out there on the internet or on the interweb. And we appreciate each and every one of you for interacting with us and selling with us and trading with us. We hope that you continue to do so. On that note, let's keep living the dream and living the hobby.